The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show. My name is Jim Kelly, filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who's feeling a little under the weather today. Welcome to KVOI. 10:30 a.m. If you would like to get in on the conversations today, the phone number is 520-790-2040. In the studio with me today is Arizona State Senator David Bradley. David and I were both members of the United States Naval Security Group, not at the same time. He was about 2 years before me. He got out about 2 years before I joined, but it was good to learn that about David. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You are a Democrat, Arizona State Senator, running for another term.
Final term.
Your final term. Mm-hmm. And your district is District 10. Can you tell us a little bit about your district?
Yeah, just geographically, real fast, it's west border is Campbell, it's southern border is 22nd and northern Speedway, and then it flares out across the city to include all the way up to Tanque Verde, and then just kind of clips Rita Ranch just a little bit on the southeast side of it. So, and then it hits the Rincons, and it's about 220,000 people somewhere in there.
So we were talking. You've got a 14-year career in in the state legislature, and in one form or another, you've run for other offices, but you have a because of your time, you have a unique experience with Southern Arizona issues. What are the issues that you are running on right now?
Yeah, well, I started my career in politics probably 10 or so years before I got before I ran for office. And my background is child welfare and behavioral health services. So I ran an agency for over 20 years for foster kids. And prior to that, I was a therapist, and I ran a psychiatric hospital down in Sierra Vista for a while. And so children's issues have always been central to my concerns. And because of the kids that I work with, many of them interface with the child welfare system, or most of them did, and that got me involved in terms of the politics of, gee, how does this happen? How do services get delivered? Who pays for it? All the things that go along with it. So that was my entree into politics, was a function of my career working with kids.
What does Southern Arizona, particularly say your district, do they have more vulnerable children who are part of a system than other parts of the state? Is it
Historically, Pima County's had a disproportionate number of kids in the system. Not so much, from my own district per se, but in the terms of the total number of kids in the system, going back into the 1980s when I got out of the Navy, and while I was in the Navy, I got my degrees in counseling and psychology, and started to work here. Arizona or Tucson had more kids in the system proportionally than any place else in the state. And there's a lot of theories about why that was or is, but the bulk of the kids probably come, from the what we call the 05 zip code, which is the northwest side of the city, and then the southeast side of the city. But the needs are scattered throughout, and the services that are delivered are provided throughout the entire community. So I was fortunate to both work and work for the kids that I work for in the same district. But
when you're part of the Southern Arizona delegation that is primarily of the Democrat Party,
sure.
How difficult is it to get your voice heard in Phoenix for Southern Arizona?
Over the years, it's been different. When I first got there, we both Republicans and Democrats, we met almost on a monthly basis. Everybody from Tucson, regardless of party, that's kind of stopped about 10 years or so ago, 8 years ago. So we haven't done that as frequently as we could or should. But working in the minority, as we were talking about earlier, when you first get to the legislature, it's kind of a shock to figure out when you learn how these things really work. And so you learn how to deal with the hand you're dealt. And I've always been in the minority, and so I've learned how to communicate with other folks in the legislature. Again, I use kids as my entree in terms of providing services to kids, whether it's in the school system, the mental health system, behavioral health system, the child welfare system. But, you know, any issue that you can bring up to me, I can pretty much correlate it back to kids, whether it's transportation or water or whatever.
Department of Child Safety had some serious issues a few years back. Mm-hmm. Did the governor call on you? Did he sit down with you to figure out what
could be done? And I've served now with three governors. So the crisis really hit the worst. Actually, when I first got there was a big crisis, and then it kind of died down for a period of time. And then when the recession hit, we got in serious trouble. We went from like 8,000, 9,000 kids in the system to almost 20,000, and that was during Governor Brewer's time. So I spent a fair amount of time working with Governor Brewer and trying to come up with a plan, which resulted in the Department of Child Safety being pulled out of the Department of Economic Security as a separate entity. That was a long and kind of laborious process. And in hindsight, I'm not sure it was the right decision, but the decision was made, and we've proceeded to get a better handle on children's issues. So I've worked with Governor Ducey on this similarly, and trying to provide services both at the front door and at the back door. Trying to get into prevention and getting people to understand the importance of prevention, because that's what we did in 2008. We just cut off all the front end of services. Again, it was economically driven for the most part, but it was penny wise and pound foolish. I remember saying on the House floor when I was a member of the House, saying you're going to pay the piper on this one, because the kids don't go away. No matter, poverty doesn't disappear. you can't legislate that away. So. By not providing upfront services and prevention services, we ended up doubling the number of kids in the system.
Wow. So you're running against your Republican opponent is Todd Clodfelter.
No,
is that right?
No, Marilyn Wiles.
Marilyn Wiles.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you had opportunity to talk with her?
Yeah, we've met two or three, four times maybe. As I say all the time, I represent about 220,000 people. It would be ludicrous for me to assert that I'm the best person to be a state senator among all these people. And so, but in order to take this position, you have to, step up. And so I congratulated Marilyn right from the get-go. I said, thanks for running.
Right.
Because people have to have options. And, I think we probably agree on many things, but I suspect we disagree on some. We really haven't spent a whole lot of time kind of
any debates? You guys run clean elections?
Yeah, we had a clean elections debate. It's hard to really call those debates. They're really kind of just forums where we're asked questions. There isn't really a give and take that much. But she's a very intelligent person who's very well-intentioned and wants to do good things for the state of Arizona. We just differ on how one does that.
What if you get reelected? What's going to be your number one priority when you get up there, budget wise? Is there a transportation issue, a water issue that's pressing? Anything pressing that you?
Well, I think education is still a big issue in the state, even though we've made some headway and gotten some resources into it. I think a charter school accountability. I'm a charter school fan. I support charter schools, but they have to be accountable. It's state money. There's resources that have not been utilized in as well as they could be over the years. And the governor has said that he is interested in this issue as well, assuming that he is reelected. I'm going to be focusing on that. I'm going to focus on domestic violence issues again to try to make some headway. We know with all the the horrible shootings that occur that at the root of it is domestic violence issues, almost to the person of people that get involved in these things. And so we know the pool of people that are going to get involved in really serious crimes and these tragedies that we've seen. And every day in this county, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, two or three people are arrested every hour for domestic violence. So we know who these people are who are going to grow up and change.
Every hour of the day,
two or three people are arrested.
And this is in the state of Arizona?
No, in Pima County.
In just Pima County alone?
Just Pima County alone. So it stands to reason to me that we should be focusing on the prevention getting resources to those folks, because whenever there's an arrest, there's usually children around, and so this reverberates through the system.
Correct.
And so dealing with those issues is, well, I will again try to promote that.
Outstanding. Senator Bradley, thank you so very much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure to talk to a shipmate.
All right.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Mona's Danish Bakery. And this is the home of the Danish Kringle. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry doing a fantastic job with European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. And if you're looking at Thanksgiving, you might want to start getting in your orders now for your pumpkin pies and any of your holiday goodies that you want. They're open for lunch right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than 24 Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. My name is Jim Kelly. Bill is under the weather today. And Ray, this weather has been nuts, hasn't it? I'm loving the rain, but I guess we got some hail down here on the south side this morning. We have Mr. Shelley Fishman online. Shelley is a financial advisor, and we've got some things to talk about. Good afternoon, Shelley.
Hey, good afternoon, and thanks for filling in for Bill. It's bad to get back from vacation and be sick, so I really felt bad for him, but you doing a great job. I listened to the first segment, and again, thanks for doing that.
Hey, no problem, Shelley. Thank you for the compliment. Shelley, I've been watching the financial news yesterday and today. We have what is defined as a volatile market. Is that correct?
Yeah, the return of volatility is what's marked the last couple of weeks. For a while, we had a steady kind of slow but steady increase in investment performance. But the past couple of weeks, we've seen more and more ups and downs. And because we're dealing with bigger numbers just in general, even if you only have a 1% or 2% change in the markets, or maybe even a little bit less than that, the numbers are still, you know, in the 200 and 300 points on the Dow. And most of us who grew up watching markets, a 300-point swing in the Dow, you know, is alarming, even if that's less than 1%, as it turns out. But today, we had some very negative numbers overnight, mostly based upon some lukewarm results from large manufacturers, and then the Chinese market took a tumble yesterday, based mostly around the policy direction given by the Chinese central banks that would have made free money harder and harder to come upon in China. And that had a negative effect on Chinese markets, just as increasing interest rates here in the United States have had a somewhat negative effect on U.S. markets.
So what role
overnight?
I'm sorry, Shelley. What role has the European Union's rejection of their budget because Italy is thinking that they're not getting as much for their infrastructure as they should? Is that having an effect on this world market?
Well, it does. And keep in mind, the markets are very, very interrelated. So not only are the economies interrelated, but the markets are interrelated. And the reason they're interrelated is because, for instance, if you take a look at the S&P 500, 50% of the business, or very nearly 50% of the business of the S&P 500, is done, originated, or sourced overseas. So when a country like Italy creates uncertainty in the markets, or as a few years ago, I mean, Greece was everything we talked about, that is going to create disruptions in both the supply chain and in the end market chain. And so uncertainty is not the friend of investors. And so you begin to see greater volatility. The other thing that's shaking up the European markets, of course, is not knowing where Brexit is going,
right?
Or if Brexit is going to happen at all.
I see that that oil has dropped to about $65 a barrel today. It might have come back up to 66 or 67. Last week it was trading at 77. So has that affected anything? And will that affect future earnings for other companies that use oil a lot, whether it be transportation, airlines, whatever?
Yes to all of the above. any company that's reliant on oil to either do the business they do or to ship the products they ship in for raw source material or out for distribution and sales, higher costs of petroleum and refined petroleum products is going to be a problem. And normally when you get volatility in one area of the economy, you can count on there being some higher volatility in others. But the thing that's really producing volatility in the petroleum markets right now is uncertainty about what's going to happen with the supply of petroleum from Iran and now from Saudi Arabia. So any time the Middle East is shaken up a little bit. Sorry, I got a jet going overhead. I'm up in Phoenix.
It's all right.
But any time those markets are uncertain, then that changes the price of oil. We've seen oil go from $140, $150 a barrel, down to $25 or $30 a barrel, and now back up in the area between $60 and $70 a barrel. And it's very difficult if you're a manager of a company to plan your strategic costs over whatever your planning horizon is, 2, 3, 4 quarters. If you don't know what a major cost item in that planning cycle is going to be, and that's the problem with oil right now.
Okay. Now, what's happening with the trade war, tariffs? How is the market responding to those?
Well, at first, the market responded negatively when the tariffs were announced. And then everybody kind of took a deep breath and said, well, wait a second. It's really a small percentage of what we do, and we're going to do some carve-outs, and maybe more of this is more bluster than reality. What we're beginning to see, however, is that the effect of these tariffs has been factored into the price. So right now, I don't think it's having a great deal of effect. 2 months ago it did. Right now it doesn't. And remember, we had GDP numbers in the second quarter that were really very good because, to a great extent, what companies were doing in anticipation of those tariffs was stocking up on supply. So they were buying stuff, and so that created a spike over 4% in the GDP growth for the second quarter. We're going to see third quarter numbers, I think, come out this week. And we'll see whether those numbers fall back down to about 3% or maybe a little bit under 3%, or stay up there in the high 3%. If they stay up there, that's a very, very good indicator for the economy. If they begin to fall down a little bit, then what we'll see is a more normalization. But right now, I think the effect of these tariffs and the subsequent tariff wars are factored into the price.
The tax cuts that the president initiated have, in this year, have the companies just hoarded the cash? Did they buy back their stock? Are they really reinvesting in people and raising wages? What's the market say is really happening with those tax cuts?
Okay. So the one thing they're not doing is raising wages. What we're seeing is that the cost of labor, except at the very low end, where there have been some minimum wage adjustments that are causing companies to have to pay more, the cost of labor is staying essentially flat. And that's been identified, certainly by me, as one of the long-term things in the economy that is a fundamental change and that's got to be fixed. However, what we're seeing right now is that the cost of labor as a function of the economy is just not a factor because it's not changing very much.
Then what happens to companies when, let's say, they forget to raise the wages of their employees when the new minimum wages come in? Do companies get hurt? Do they get what happens to them when things like that happen?
Well, I think it's on a case-by-case basis. Somebody's got to file a complaint, and that complaint has to be adjudicated. The thing that we're seeing is that as the labor market tightens, companies have a higher propensity to raise the minimum wage because they can't hire and hold on to employees. The other thing, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, is the amount of money that is being, let's say, hoarded by companies because they don't know what to do with that money. And before the tax cuts, we had about $1 trillion in cash or cash equivalents in American business that had not been invested. So with the tax cuts, we saw a whole bunch of buybacks in stock. So yes to that question you asked. We're still seeing close to $2 trillion in uninvested capital. We see some increases, and this is a good sign, some increases in investment in plant and capital equipment. but not what we were led to expect would be there. And so to a very great extent, that element of the tax changes that were passed last year by Congress have been a disappointment.
Let me ask you one more question, and
sure.
And that is, has anyone seen savings, 401ks? Is anybody putting in more money? Are the American workers upping their investments in their own retirement?
I haven't seen recent figures about that. However, the general investment in investables and 401ks, for instance, and private investment accounts, that has remained relatively constant over the past 2 years. And that means that there is a propensity on the part of consumers right now to spend their money rather than to invest it. We've also seen an increase in debt limits at the family level. We've seen families using their homes as credit cards. These are all very alarming trends, and what we need to do is find a way to educate the public to understand that investing long-term is exactly the only way they're going to be able to keep their retirement prospects sound.
Shelley, it's been a terrific interview with you. Thank you so very, very much.
Wide-ranging. Thank you, sir. Have a great rest of the show.
Can you tell people how to find out more about you and about what you do?
The best way is to go to buckmastershow.com and find the link to me. Hit that link. It sends me an email, and I respond instantly.
Thank you, Shelley. Green Things now has Zocalo Fine Mexican Imports on the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. With all the great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America, check out Green Things for all your gardening needs on the web at greenthingsarizonaaz.com. That's greenthingsaz.com.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. My name is Jim Kelly, filling in for Bill this fine Tuesday afternoon. We've got some nice, cool weather. We've got some rain this morning, a little bit of hail on the south side. Silver City is Grant County, New Mexico, is the portion is presents this portion of the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, is just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and a lot to do in Grant County, New Mexico. You can explore the historic downtown, or you can visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. On the phone with me is Justin Olson, who is running for Arizona Corporate Commission. Justin, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you, Jim.
Well, thank you. Thanks for. I know you're getting second fiddle, but I do appreciate you calling in so that we can get this, so we can do this interview. Justin, tell me first off, what do you do at the Arizona Corporate Commission? What does the Arizona Corporate Commission do?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the Corporation Commission was established in our state constitution at the state's founding. And the idea is that, you know, there's certain public services that we rely on, like power and water, our sewer system, that are best served through a single provider, and the framers of the Constitution knew that that would end up with significantly high rates unless the Corporation Commission were charged with establishing a just and a fair rate, putting in place a rate that would be charged if the public service corporation were operating in a perfectly competitive marketplace. And so that's our job, is to sit in place of the market for these regulated monopolies and ensure that they're not charging you something that's above a just and a fair and a reasonable rate. It's an important responsibility, something that a lot of folks don't know is going on at near the state's capital. I've been serving at the commission since October of last year. I was very honored to be appointed to the commission when Governor Ducey had to fill a vacancy after Doug Little took a position in the Trump administration, the Department of Energy. So I've got a proven record that I'm excited to share with your listeners and hope to earn their support.
What's the big issue right now is Prop 127, is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is critical. This will dramatically drive up the cost of our public services, of our utilities. It's estimated that it will increase rates by about $1,000 or more per year for the average residential utility payer. It may double the expenses for our small businesses, which will drive up the cost of our goods and our services. And this is a key difference between your Republican nominees and our Democratic nominees. I'm one of the Republican nominees, Justin Olson. My running mate is Rodney Glassman. The two of us oppose these mandates, putting these mandates into our Constitution that will drive up the cost of utilities, and they'll actually be counterproductive as well. These have been tried in California. What we saw in California is that after this exact same mandate was put in place, rates increased by more than triple the average growth of rates across the country. Californians are now paying 50% more than we pay for their power here in Arizona. So these have been tried. They failed. We should not enact these failed policies here in Arizona. And they actually led to the premature closure of a nuclear power plant in California, and it's estimated that will be the outcome here in Arizona as well. which will mean that we will lose the nation's largest source of carbon-free energy, and to a large extent, portions of that energy would be replaced with natural gas-fired power plants, meaning that the outcome of this initiative would be an increase in carbon emissions and significantly increasing our utility rates, putting a burden on the backs of hardworking Arizona families, retirees, school districts, small businesses. That's a burden that I don't support putting on the economy. Unfortunately, that's something that our Democrat opponents support.
Let me ask you a question. Are renewables like solar and wind, can they maintain grid integrity, power grid integrity for the whole state alone?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, renewables play an important part in our energy portfolio, and it's a growing portion of that portfolio. The challenge with renewables, as you alluded, is that they are intermittent. You know, the sun isn't always shining. It shines a lot here in Arizona, which is great, and that's why Arizona leads the country. We're actually the third highest state in the country with solar energy generation, and it's because the sun is shining a lot of the time in Arizona. And while the sun's shining, solar energy is actually the lowest cost method of generating electricity. But the challenge is that the sun's not always shining, and the sun fades past the horizon. Folks get home from work, they expect to be able to turn the lights on and have the power that they need to prepare dinner and wash the laundry, and that power needs to be met, and it can't be met with solar energy when the sun is not shining. As the cost of storage falls, then that creates more opportunities to benefit to a larger extent from solar energy. But right now, the technology is not there. It would be cost prohibitive to transfer a significant portion of that solar energy that's generated while the sun's shining to the time when that energy is actually needed and consumed. So what we see is in the states where they've tried to drive the solar energy production beyond those natural limits, is they actually have a surplus of solar energy. California actually pays Arizona to take its surplus solar energy off of the grid during the times when the sun is shining for many months of the year because it will overload the grid. So we here in Arizona, we actually shut off our solar panels. We get paid to take their surplus solar energy off of their hands, and utility ratepayers in Arizona benefit from those failed policies in California. We shouldn't mirror those failed policies here in Arizona.
What's been your biggest challenge in your race so far?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I think the biggest challenge that the commission has faced, they're significant, and they were challenges when I arrived at the commission. You know, when I first was approached by the governor's office to take this appointment, there was an ongoing investigation into a former commissioner for allegedly having accepted a bribe. That was a pending investigation at the time. I had some concern, some hesitation about stepping into the commission where, you know, the public confidence had been significantly harmed. But, you know, I was really struck by what the governor said to me at the time. He said, "Justin, in these circumstances, the number one priority that I have in filling this vacancy is to ensure that I fill this vacancy with someone that I'm confident will serve with the highest standards of ethics and integrity." And I was very humbled and very honored that in those circumstances, the governor turned to me to fill this vacancy. So I recognize that, you know, if I can play some small role in rebuilding that public confidence in the commission, that's work worth doing. So I accepted that appointment and I went to work, and I've been working to accomplish that, to rebuild that public confidence. Now, since that time, that investigation was completed, it went to trial, and it ended in a hung jury. There was no conviction, but the challenge is that the public damage to the confidence in the commission has already been done. So that's what I've been working to overcome. Those challenges existed when I came to the commission, but I've been part of the solution. I've been serving with the highest standards of ethics and integrity, but more importantly, I've been advocating policies to increase accountability and transparency. I offered an amendment to our commissioner's code of ethics to prohibit commissioners and candidates for the commission from accepting campaign contributions from the entities that we regulate. You know, I think that's step number one. We've got to ensure to the public that the commission's not unduly influenced by the utilities that we regulate. But most importantly, I've been leading the effort to reduce our utility rates. Rates are actually lower today than they were the day that I took office, and that's an accomplishment that I'm I'm very proud of. Love to tell your listeners more details if you're interested. But an accomplishment that I'm proud to share with voters, and that's what I look forward to continuing to do at the commission if I'm successful at winning an election to another term.
Justin, Mr. Olson, thank you so very, very much for your time today. I think you put a lot of information out. I think it was good information that people needed to hear. Thank you so very much. Have a fantastic day. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of Danish Kringles, at northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and Sherry are doing a terrific job with all of the European baked goods. If you want to get some lunch, you can do so right now at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. I'm Jim Kelly, your host today. Bill is feeling a little bit under the weather today. It's well deserved. He was on vacation and comes back and gets the flu, and that sucks. Anyways, this week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by the Fox Tucson Theater, which is celebrating the art form of dance with three diverse performances. Tomorrow, Wednesday the 21st, it's Dahod Gypsies of Rajasthan. Also this week at the Fox on Saturday, October 27th, the World of Dance Live Tour makes a stop in Tucson. And then on October 31st, the Fox presents acclaimed flamenco dancer and choreographer Eduardo Guerrero with Compañía Flamenco. We have on the phone Dan Gibson, our arts and entertainment contributor. Daniel, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. It's back on the this side of the mic after guest hosting while Bill was gone. So yeah, this, now I, that feels flipped, like back to just being a contributor. I was living the high life, and now, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Let me tell you something. I'd much rather be a guest sometimes. I think this is not as easy as people may think it is, and you know that for a fact too, don't you, Dan?
Yes, it gets a little confusing. I'm just like, wait, hold on. What am I doing right now? My endeavor to sound intelligent is usually what trips me up.
So tell us what's going on in Tucson this week.
So much. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, we have 2 weeks to cover because, you know, Margaret Regan does this every second week as well, so I want to make sure we get as much in. So much happening. So the Open Studio Tours, collaboration between SACA and the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, is held in two parts. The first weekend is everything south of River Road, and that's October 27th and 28th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then the second part of it is weekend two is what's north of River Road, November 3rd and 4th, also from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's the largest community art exhibition in Southern Arizona, 250 artists coming together to open their studios and creative spaces. You can see not only the art, but also where the art is made. It really is an incredible opportunity to get in touch with all the amazing things happening in Tucson Art. There's Q&A sessions with artists. There's hands-on art demonstrations, live music refreshments at some of the stops. It is also entirely free, so that's a great part of it.
Free's good.
Yeah, right? Who doesn't like that? It's all at openstudiotours.com. You can get maps. You can see where all these things are happening. It's certainly a huge event, and as Tucson Art, we're thankful for SACA for coming through and becoming the presenting organization for that. If you have not been to Etherton Gallery, I think they're actually on the Open Studio Tours as well, downtown, there's Steve McCurry exhibition, which is incredible. Steve McCurry is the artist best known for the Afghan Girl cover of National Geographic, but he's been all around the world, India, Iran, Sri Lanka, all these places. It's a really incredible exhibition, and Netherton is always free. You can just head on in there and see the show. They have a new that runs through November 3rd, and I kid you not, is super moving. It's an incredible exhibition. Set aside 30 minutes to go downtown and see it. They also have a new exhibition coming following that. Kate Brakey, a local artist, they're doing a show with Tucson Botanical Gardens called Kate Brakey Trees, which starts, that's actually at the Botanical Gardens, and then Danny Lyon will have a show at Etherton as well. Look forward to those, but make sure you see the current exhibition as well. I say, Margaret probably talked about this 2 weeks ago, but the 30 Americans show at the Tucson Museum of Art, I went last week with my family, is a can't-miss. You have until January 13th, but don't let it slide. You know, don't wait, because you might miss it. You'll forget. It'll sneak up before you know it with all the holiday things that are happening. From the Rubel Family Collections, a collection of African-American artists, contemporary artists, it is all over the place, from Jean-Michel Basquiat to Carol Walker. It's really an amazing exhibition, absolutely worth seeing. Kenny Wiley, who is most famous for the Barack Obama portrait that's in the National Portrait Gallery. It is super amazing, super evocative. It is one of those things that Tucson is lucky to have, so make sure you check that out at the Tucson Museum of Art. You can find out more information about that at the TucsonMuseumOfArt.org. Tucson's biggest, most famous arts thing, probably the All Souls Procession. That is coming up on Sunday, November 4th, from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., but it really is happening all that weekend with the processional little angels and things like that. The procession itself is obviously the main show with, they estimate, 100,000 people participate, which when you come downtown that night, it seems plausible. AllSoulsProcession.org. If you are new to Tucson or you have not participated in the All Souls Procession, it is a community-driven, non-commercial event. It's all art forms, all people. It's free to participate. If you just want to walk as part of the procession, just step in and do it. It is absolutely open to everyone who is, you know, as long as you they ask that you participate respectfully and mindfully, obviously. But you can learn more about it at allsoulsprocession.org. We also have some things about it on our website at visittucson.org. And it really is something all Tucsonans should check out at one point or another. Looking for a road trip? Who isn't, right? Tubac's Fall Festival is happening November 2nd through November 4th. It is a great time, and Tubac's lovely especially, but there's arts and crafts and food and music and fun. So much happening down there. You know, and it's getting to Santa Cruz County. So, you know, explore the area just south of here. You can find out more about that at tubacaz.com. And plus, there's so many artists and amazing people doing stuff down there.
I love the artists community that has grown up in Tubac. I mean, it's just beautiful. Definitely get off the freeway and into Tubac and check out all the new stuff that's going on there.
Yeah, Arts Festival is an excellent opportunity for it. On a fringe part of the art world, you know, I like to mix it up a little bit here. This is my personal recommendation for this week. Tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. That's October 24th, at the Loft Cinema, the Pima County Public Library is hosting an evening with Michael Twitty. Michael Twitty is probably the most interesting, dynamic, talked-about food writer working today. He is an African-American Jewish gentleman from the South. He writes like no one else I've ever seen. He is so evocative about food and culture and people. He won multiple James Beard Awards this year for his writing. It is a free discussion with Michael Twitty. He'll also be signing his cookbooks. You can buy one there from Antigone Books, which will be selling there. His newish memoir, The Cooking Gene, is out. He'll be actually taking questions from the audience as well. He's incredible. And absolutely worth seeing if you have the opportunity. And free. Who doesn't like that? I'm throwing the free things left and right out there.
Tucson's designation as a UNESCO City of Gastronomy certainly brings a lot of very famous chefs to the Tucson area, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's brought a lot of attention to the city, which is well. And it's also having that organization of the board of the Tucson City Gastronomy, and just people thinking about it more actively too. Like, how do we create that conversation? How do we talk about the amazing things that are happening here, but also what's happening outside in the rest of the world? You know, there's all these things are connected, really. I mean, food and culture and justice and, you know, the economy and all these things are really deeply connected together. And those conversations are an excellent place to think about what food means to us and the lack of it, the surplus of it. It's obviously great to eat amazing food and to do that as well, but it's such a big part of our lives, obviously, that it's impossible to sort of ignore all the other things happening in that universe. And the city gastronomy thing has been incredible to have those conversations, but also to have great chefs come down here and make delicious food as well.
Anything more going on?
Sure.
How's our music scene doing?
That's a great question. Absolutely, great stuff happening. Like you mentioned, the Fox Theater. If you have one thing that's coming up right after might be on the calendar later, you never know. Joan Baez is coming October 28th. Unfortunately, if you don't have tickets yet, find somebody who might have one who might want to part with them because it's sold out. Wow. Ricky Lee Jones and Anders Osborne, who are incredible folk musicians of their own right, are there November 8th. The Rialto has incredible shows coming up at rialtotheater.com. They're recently announced that they'll be temporarily relocating to the Corbett building at 6th and 6th when the construction of the new hotel goes up there, but they have K.T. Tunstall is this really great British sort of soul, folk, pop musician, is at Club Congress tonight, actually, October 23rd. Reek, who is this big Mexican band, is playing on October 25th. If you enjoyed Christian metal in the 80s, Friday, October 26th, Striper.
Wow, I'm a
Yellow and Black Attack will be at the Rialto.
Outstanding. Dan Gibson, Visit Tucson. Thank you so very much. I love your reports every on Tuesdays, and sometimes when you're in here, you're doing other things, and I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm just happy to be part of the Buckmaster universe.
There you go. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by the Fox Tucson Theater, which is celebrating the art form of dance with three diverse performances tomorrow, Wednesday the 24th. It's Daho Gypsies of Rajasthan. And also this week at the Fox on October 27th, the World of Dance Live Tour makes a stop in Tucson. Then on October 31st, the Fox presents acclaimed flamenco dancer and choreographer Eduardo Guerrero with Compañía Flamenco Eduardo Guerrero. For more details about Daho Gypsies of Rajasthan, World of Dance Live, and Compañía Flamenco, visit foxtucson.com.